Hello, how are you?
I'm good. Yourself?
What's happening?
Same shit, definitely.
You sound very distant. What's wrong?
Distant? No.
Aye. I don't mean the sound quality. I mean you.
It's life, Dave. It's life.
Oh, what's wrong, mate? What's happening?
I'm getting tangled up in wires here and I'm tired tonight.
Anything new to tell me? Anything been happening? Any gossip? Anything else? No.
No.
No. This is the biggest lot of pish that I have ever watched. They're like, oh no, it's a true story. It's a true story, and you've got to feel sorry for him. I was like, no, I'm not. Didn't feel fucking sorry for him at all. He's a total fucking weirdo.
I'm really choking on one spit there. You feel like a right arsehole when you choke on your own saliva or air. I think air's the worst one. I can't remember what else he said, Dave. I've only wrote it down. I'll just strap all that.
Derek, you're not feeling it tonight, mate. You're not feeling it tonight. You're really not.
I'm not feeling it.
You're needing a cup of coffee and a bag of jelly babies or something like that before you come on and do this, mate. You're just you're usually quite upbeat and ready to go and quite energetic when it comes to the pod, but I'm just not feeling it tonight at all.
And it's not the West Coast sweeties he's talking about either.
No, definitely not. No.
No.
And the stadium erupts in red, white, and blue. You've never seen anything like it.
Let's go.
Manchester, brace yourself.
Rangers are coming!
Hi folks, and welcome to the next episode of the iReady podcast. As ever, I'm your host Derek, and with me is my co-host Dave. How are you doing, Dave?
Derek, I'm doing well. How's yourself?
I'm tired, Dave.
You're just tired. You're just tired. Is that tired just as in, oh, I mean to go to my bed, or tired as in stressful tired, or is it tired just because you've got two young children and I'm not going to give you any sympathy whatsoever if that's the case?
All of the above, Your Honour.
Well, I'm not giving you any sympathy for the last one because I've been there and done that, so nah, sorry.
Yes, but we're going to try and perk myself up tonight because we've got two games to cover. Both wins, maybe the most not exciting of games, but we got the wins nonetheless. So I suppose at the end of the day, Dave, that's the main thing at this stage of the game.
It most certainly is, Derek, and I think for a change I'm seeming to feel a bit more upbeat than what you are for these games, so I think we'll get into it.
You may as well just do it all yourself, Dave. So, without further ado, we will go down the tunnel and onto the pitch. So the first game we've got to cover was on Sunday the 21st of April. It was a 2-0 win against Hearts at Hampden in the Scottish Cup semi-final. Cup games in general, Dave, we've said it before, win by any means necessary. And as much as we weren't bad, we weren't great, but we got the victory that we needed to take us into the final.
Yeah, we certainly did. And as you're about to get into, Derek, we deserved to get into the final. We maybe didn't put on a vintage performance, but we were still by far the better team in this game.
So we lined up with four changes from the Dundee game, which we obviously drew nil each. Most notable, Dave, though, Goldson was benched and Balogun was put in his place.
Yes, I don't think any of us saw that coming, Derek, because the two players in our squad over the years that never get benched is James Tavernier and Connor Goldson. So quite shocked to see that. I don't know, Derek, I mean, he was on the bench for the games. It's obviously got nothing to do with fitness. Quite refreshing as well. We need to change things up. We've been getting caught out with the same types of goal recently. Keep everybody on their toes and bring Balogun back in. He's certainly got the speed, probably about the fastest out of our centre-halves that we've got there. Maybe thought that that's what was needed. But good to see that the manager is not scared to change things up, Derek, especially senior members of the playing staff.
Yeah. So we lined up Butland, Balogun, Tavernier, Souter, Sterling, Cantwell, Lundstrom, Matondo, Seamat, Diamande and Dessers. On the subs bench we have McCrory, Goldson, Silva, Lawrence, Dowell, Roof, Barisic, Raskin and McCausland. So it was a decent first half, not anything stunning, but largely in control and a goal up. We contained Hearts when they tried to get forward, with Butland only having one thing to do, which I think it would have been ruled offside in any case if it went in. We had created little clear cut though, with Gordon having nothing much to do either. We were still looking to take the extra touch, still not wanting to shoot, but we were having better control of midfield in this game compared to certainly the Dundee game, which wouldn't have been hard. In the third minute, it was a lovely chip ball down the right wing by Tavernier to Seema. Seema puts a great ball into the middle and Dessers tries a jumping side foot volley, but he hits it wide. He should have been hitting the target with that one, Dave, shouldn't he have?
Derek, he should have burst the net with that one. It was a fantastic delivery by Seema. And I know we have a debate about Dessers every single podcast, but for a guy, for a professional striker, his ability, he should be bursting the net with that one. It was great play, really unlucky not to be 1-0 up very early on in the game.
Yes. So what was I wouldn't say an easy chance, but the easier of the chances, he misses and puts wide. He scores probably the harder chance 2 minutes later to make it 1-0. Tavernier does well to win the ball. He slides it to Cantwell near the edge of the box, passes to Dessers in the box, who almost looks as if he was going to lose it, but he had a couple of sidestep passes past the defender and he hits it into the back of the net. Brilliant all round. I think it all really started from Tavernier showing a bit of fight and determination to win the ball back. Nice pass. Dessers was brilliant in the box there. Dave, I think that typifies him. He's got such good control at times. He knows where the goal is. He just looks so awkward when he does it. But he scored the goal.
It was a great goal, and it is just typical of him. He gets the ball and he's got a man to beat and he just leaves him for dead and finishes absolutely fantastic right past Gordon into the back of the net. A brilliant goal. And as you say, for him to miss the one a few minutes before, which to me looked a lot easier for him to do that. But we've seen him do that time and time again. He loves being able to beat that last man, doesn't he? He always wants to go and try and beat the player before he has the shot at goal. So, excellent goal by him and a great early goal for us. And I thought after that, let's go and try and get another one before half-time and put the game to bed. But as usual, we make heavy weather of it, don't we?
Absolutely. And you did say it was typical of Dessers, that type of goal. Well, it was typical of our luck on the 15th minute, because Seema, the player on the comeback, had to go off injured and McCausland came on for him. So really disappointing to see that there. And he had played a substitute game the last game and he seemed to be decent-ish, but obviously we never got anything out of that game. But, you know, he has been one of the shining lights of this season. So
We can't catch any luck at all in the wide positions, Derek. We've had so many people out injured, you know, wingers that we brought in, or guys come back and then get injured again. We just don't seem to have a run of games for these guys. And I thought, like you, that was going to be Seema back for the run-in, but I don't know how long he's going to be. The manager was a bit vague, saying he hopes to see him before the end of the season, but doesn't sound too great for him, unfortunately.
No. 23rd minute, Hearts with a shot from distance but wide and not troubling the keeper at all. 24th minute, Lundstrom gives the ball away in our half. Hearts player charges through our defence into the left side of the box. He tries to shoot and Lundstrom slides in to put it out of the corner. Well recovered from Lundstrom, but shouldn't be getting into that position in the first place and giving the ball away so easily. 25th minute, a long ball into our box from the right side. Our defence was absolutely static. The Hearts player breaks through and shoots at close range, but it was blocked by Butland's feet and the defender knocks it out for the corner. That was probably the big chance that Hearts had. Good save from Butland, but it probably would have been ruled off for offside if it had went in anyway. Yeah. Oh, you would like to think anyway. Yeah. 31st minute, Matondo drives the ball from the halfway line to the edge of the box on the centre, slides it to the right to McCausland, who tries to get the ball through but falls to our player on the edge of the box, where we have a shot but it was easier for the keeper, so a decent move all round that there. 37th minute, a short corner played to the centre from 25 yards out, floated into the box and a glancing header by Balogun into the arms of the keeper. That was offside in any case. 42nd minute, Tavernier with a free kick from 25 yards over the bar. 46th minute to round out the half. Cantwell on the right, picks up the ball, drives inwards towards goal, feeds it to Matondo on the left, who had the opportunity to shoot, but takes it on, ends up getting puts out for the corner. Just shoot. How many more times have we said that, Dave? But
I know.
But anyway, that's how we drew into half time. As I said, really not bad, not great, but we found ourselves 1-0 up and more in control than we kind of thought we were going to be, because we all thought Hearts were going to come out and batter us, but they never.
No, they didn't. And I was quite surprised at that, because going by the previous two results that we'd had, which had been disastrous, I thought Hearts would have really have fancied themselves. I've told you before, Derek, I work with quite a few Jambos. I work in the east of Scotland, and they all fancied their chances of beating Rangers, but really, they didn't really lay a glove on us at all in the first half, or indeed the second half either, really.
No, and I've briefly summarised the second half here. 52nd minute was a chance for Hearts that was smuggled away. 57th minute, Matondo with a shot well over the bar. 63rd minute, first substitution of the game for us, Matondo off and Silva on. 64th minute, Diamande with a shot just wide. 70th minute, Silva with a curling effort over the bar. 72nd minute, Hearts with a shot just by the post. 73rd minute, Shanklin headers the side net from a corner that wasn't cleared. So that was probably Hearts' best chance of the second half as well. And it was a wee bit dangerous. I always hate when we're just that one goal up, because anything can happen. We left Shanklin a lot of space there as well. However, about 5 minutes later, on the 78th minute, Dessers once again gets a goal and puts us 2-0 up. Cantwell drives the ball forward from the halfway line, takes on players in the box, slides it to the right for Dessers, who shoots. It was initially saved by the keeper. It rebounds back to him. He takes it around the player and shoots it into the back of the net. An outstanding goal all round, Dave. Cantwell was amazing there. That's exactly the type of play we want to see from him.
Yes.
Dessers was a wee bit unlucky with his first shot, but it was great composure to get it again and then hit it into the back of the net. Brilliant.
That's what we're wanting to see from the two of them, Derek, especially Cantwell. If you think about it, Cantwell's been, by his standards, quite sort of disappointing this season. There's only been flashes, but this has been one of the best games he's had, because he was finding space constantly. He was able to find those pockets of space and be so effective. He was by far our most dangerous player, especially in the second half. And that's what we're looking for. So it was great play by him. But then again, Dessers, you know, hits the shot, it gets saved, and, you know, he's got all the hard work to do, and he does it like absolutely no issues whatsoever, Derek. You know, I mean, he skinned that player and scored the goal after that. It's quite incredible, the ability that the guy's got. And I've said this before, but he would probably miss the easiest chances. But always, so that's why I know that if Dessers gets the ball and there's still a player to go, he's probably going to go in and get a shot on target. It's the one sort of positive thing that I can say about him. But giving him a lot of criticism this season, Derek, but I think this game against Hearts has been one of Dessers' best games, because there's a lot of times that he's very static in matches, and that's what infuriates me as well. It wasn't like that at all in this game. He was getting involved in every bit of the attack and play. He was making sprints. He was trying to find gaps for the ball to get played into him and stuff like that. So he did have an excellent game this time, but Cantwell was superb as well. So great to get that second goal and put some daylight between us and Hearts, especially at that time in the game.
Yes, absolutely. Well, it came off a couple of minutes later, because on the 80th minute, Cantwell, Sterling and Diomande came off. Raskin, Barisic and Lawrence came on. 88th minute, was a ball split through the Hearts defence by Lawrence to Dessers, who drags it to the left side. Lovely cut back to Silva, who falls over the ball, and when all he really had to do was tap it into an empty net. Dave, I do not know what Silva was playing at here.
Ask you the same thing. What do you actually think he was trying to do?
I hope to fuck he wasn't trying to look for a penalty with that one there, because I don't know if he got caught slightly behind the ball. I'm not too sure, but he just seemed to fall down when nobody was around him. So it was absolutely bizarre. I mean, for the fact that Wolves paid £35 million for this guy, I don't know. I mean, some players just don't suit leagues, and I'm afraid to say, as much as he started off kind of brightly, he's done what a lot of loan players do and just fade to nothing, because he's became largely an embarrassment I don't get it, Dave.
The last game he turned up for, Derek, was when we played Benfica away, and that was because he had vested interest in that game. He was really up for it because his father played for Porto. There was the tie there, and obviously Benfica, the big rival. So you could tell, and I thought he had a really good game, and I thought, here we go, we're finally getting the best out of him. And then after that, absolutely nothing. I actually felt sorry for Dessers there, because I think the Dessers could have got the shot away, went for his hat-trick there, Derek, and going by the two goals he'd scored before, he would have probably scored it, but he was very unselfish, played it back, and I don't know what was going through his head. Like you, I hope and pray that he wasn't trying to get a foul, because it was easier to score the goal than it was to try and make up that you had been... I mean, can you even remember any contact being made on him before the ball came back to him? I mean, I know that there was a player close to him, but still not enough that he couldn't just put his big toe right through that and score the third goal. But a fantastic move all round, but really, really let down by Silva. And I just hope that he was off balance and that's why he missed it. But still, a glaring, glaring opportunity for the third there.
90th minute, Botland with a great save from a shot from the penalty spot by Hearts there. So Botland called into action right at the last minute. But that's how the game ended out. So delighted with the 3 points there. No, but delighted with the win in the semi-final to take us through to the final against Celtic. First Old Firm Scottish Cup final since 2002, Dave. That's incredible.
Absolutely mental. I would not have said that at all. That was the last time that there was a Rangers-Celtic final. It's quite incredible. But if you think about everything that's happened since then, bizarre to think of all those finals that we've seen in the past, and this is the first one over 20 years, you know, mental.
So that lines us up into the next game, which was Sunday the 28th of April. It was a 2-1 win against St Mirren in the Premiership. Dave, take it away.
Yes, and previous two league games, disastrous for us. That's why we were delighted with that victory in the Cup. We knew that the title had been in our hands and we'd kind of blown it, but we're still in there, Derek, but we have to win all of our games to have any kind of a chance to get the league, and we just have to take one game at a time, and that's how I'm viewing this from now on. So I was just looking for the victory. I'm not even interested in the fact that we're like 4 or 5 goals behind. I'm just looking for the 3 points. The rest of it will take care of itself. So a tricky tie away against St Mirren. The lineup that Philip Clement put out was Butland in goals, Tavernier, Balogun retaining his place in the team, Suter, the return of Borna Barisic, Lundstrom, Diomande, Cantwell, Sterling, Silva and Dessers, and injuries again, players not there, the likes of Matondo not in the team, not in the squad because of injuries as well. We're really, really thin in the ground. On the bench, McCrory, Goldson, Lawrence, Dowell, Wright, Roof, Davies, Raskin and McCausland. So Sterling playing on the right in midfield, sort of trying to get forward, and the return of Barisic, like I said. So, in the first minute, Derek, this must be 3-4 games in a row now. The ball gets played back to James Tavernier in defence, right in front of his own box. He hesitates. It gets stolen off him, straight to St Mirren player, who gets a shot away and a good save by Jack Butland to make sure that we didn't go 1-0 down in the first minute. Is that, am I right in saying, is that 3 league games in a row where we've almost conceded in the first minute and it's all been done to Tav? Is that correct?
Yeah, and you take into account the Celtic game, it's really 4 games. So it's absolutely shambolic. Just not switching on right from the minute. We're not switching on for the full 90, 100 minutes or however long a game is these days. We're not switching on from minute one. As you said, all from Tav once again. Yeah. And I think you underplayed the save there from Butland. It was a fantastic save.
Teams obviously know just to get at us from the very second that they get the ball. And it wasn't as if it was an incredible through ball in one of their attackers. Tav had no pressure. He had plenty of time just to get the ball away. But I don't know what was going through his head. Really, really lucky to get away with that one unscathed there. So 5 minutes on the clock. Corner to Rangers taken by Barisic. It's punched away by the St Mirren goalkeeper. It gets to Lundstrom at the edge of the box. He hits a curling shot just past the post. And again, I'm going to say this a few times during this, Derek, John Lundstrom getting chances at the edge of the box and not getting shots on target. If he could get these shots on target, we would either be scoring or we would be creating chances for other people to score. So that's the disappointing thing for me, that he's not even getting these shots on goal. On the 7th minute, Silva, he loses the ball on the left wing, but he wins it back into Lundstrom again. He hits a shot, but again, well wide of the post. So that's two chances in 2 minutes, Derek, where we really are expecting a guy like John Lundstrom to be hitting a target for there, aren't we?
Absolutely, yeah.
Mix up in midfield just a minute later, legs everywhere, St Mirren, they get the break of the ball to Mandron, who bursts into the box. He gets a low shot away, a great save again by Butland. It's cleared, but thankfully it was going to be offside. But again, getting caught in midfield, St Mirren going for it and almost caught there. 14 minute, first sort of really good move that I can say, involving Dio Mandy. Dessers, then Stirling, he lays the ball off to James Tavernier, who's on the overlap. He gets to the byline, puts in a low cross right in the danger area. It's almost getting to Dessers, but St Mirren managed to clear. Really unlucky there. Good chance for Rangers. 2 minutes later, a long pass from Suter to Silva. He stays onside, into the box. He shoots, but a blocking tackle and out for a corner. So that was when I could tell we were starting to get more and more of the ball, getting more into St Mirren's half. And then on the 20th minute, again, a great move culminating in James Tavernier getting the shot for the edge of the box. Fantastic skill here by James Tavernier. He hits it. It's dipping right to the edge of the box. And a fantastic save by the St Mirren goalkeeper out for the corner. Really unlucky there. Great technique by Tav, but still 0-0 at that point. 28 minutes, Silva in the box. Body check by Gogic. No much in it at all. I thought maybe when I first saw it, Silva, he's maybe going down a bit dramatically, but there was contact there, but it was all legal, so really couldn't have had anything in there thinking for a penalty or anything like that. But only 5 minutes later, we did break the deadlock. It was Barisic with the corner on the right. He plays it short to Cantwell, back to Barisic, across to the back post. The goalkeeper gets a hand to it, trying to get the ball out for the corner. Dio Mandy, great vision. He steals in at the byline and nods the ball back across the face of the goal, right in front of the defender and Dessers. If the defender wasn't going to get there, Dessers was going to get there, and there's no way that the defender could clear it. So it hits off the defender, goes into the back of the net, and Rangers take a 1-0 lead.
I know it was classed as an OG, Dave, but I'm giving that to Dessers just for the pure pressure he put the defender under there, Dave.
Yeah, no, it was. And like I said, if it wasn't going to go in off the St Mirren defender, it was definitely going to go off him because it was right in front of goal. There's no way that it could have missed for that spot. So,
I don't know about that.
Great time to get the goal, or as we thought, because only 4 minutes later, St Mirren equalised, and it really came out at absolutely nothing. Long cross into the box. A header comes off Butland's inside post and into the back of the net. Came for absolutely nothing. Derek, I think a culmination of Tav not getting in to close the man down. Balogun caught on the hop as well, which I'm really quite shocked about. And I'll be honest with you, Butland, who's been absolutely sensational, he must have looked back at that goal and been quite disappointed that he didn't get more on that because it was at his near post. But just poor defender again, Derek. Straightforward. Lump it into the box, and there it's 1-1.
I mean, a lot of folk were saying, oh, it was Balogun that was the main culprit. I'm sorry, it was kind of Tav again in this one here. For a change, he was actually marking the player, but he got bumped off the ball so easily, yeah. And it was the player that ended up hitting it in the back of the net. So just poor defending all round again, and another clear example of why this back line in its entirety, even the second string back line in terms of Balogun, they just need shipped out in the summer.
And then just before half-time, Derek, it's 1-1. We see probably save of the season, certainly for what I've seen. And a save, dare I say it, has kept us in the title race here. Jack Butland with an absolutely incredible reaction save. Now, the ball was played in to the box. It was headed back out, and the St Mirren player hits it on the sort of half volley just outside the 6-yard box. It's heading in. It was bursting the back of the net. Butland is moving the opposite way And not only did he save it, he actually got the ball over for a corner with one hand. The strength that he must have had in that, there's no way that he should have saved that, Derek. It was quite sensational. And like I said, save of the season that I've seen, and it kept us in the game at that stage at 1-1. Absolutely fantastic.
I mean, that is a £20 million save right there. That's justifying the valuation we've got for him, because that was Gorham-esque, Dave. I don't care what anyone says. That was maybe not as good as the Van Hooijdonk save, but it was certainly getting close to it. And this guy is worth whatever value we say he's worth, to be honest.
And like I said, he was actually moving the opposite way from where the ball was going. So for his whole body to move there and still manage to get the hand, and for his hand to be strong enough to stop the volley and get it away, is quite sensational. He is by far the save of the season. And as we're about to get into in the second half, absolutely crucial for us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. And like I say, into the second half, nothing much happening at all. 55th minute, Silva had another very, very poor match. He comes off, McCausland comes on. 64th minute, again, we've got most of the ball in midfield, but not creating a lot of chances here. 67th minute, free kick outside the box. It's too far for Tav to take a shot directly. He dinks it into the box. Balogun heads it across to Cantwell. He's unmarked, just outside the six-yard box, hits his shot wide. Derek, we're expecting a player of Cantwell's quality, the technique the guy's got to be hitting the target through there. That was a really shocking miss by his standards.
He's not the only one, Dave, though, is he?
Yeah, no. But then Cantwell again, this is where I knew that we were starting to come back into the game, because he just had that chance, but he picks up the ball outside the box, runs at the defenders, curls a shot, and it's inches wide. And then only 7 minutes after that, we get the second goal. Diomande, he releases Tav. A phenomenal through ball to Tav down the right wing. And then Tav puts in an absolutely sensational cross right over the top of the defenders and the goalkeeper. And there's Dessers at the right place at the right time just to nod the ball into the back of the net. Sensational move, sensational cross. Great finish by Dessers there, Derek. Fantastic stuff.
One of the only great crosses that Tav put in all game, and lo and behold, it finds the man. Yep. And you might think it's right place, right time, etc., but he still needs to be there at the right place at the right time. He didn't have to move. It was a combination of an outstanding cross and a player who is doing the job right now. That's the 20th goal this season he scored, Dave. And I know folk are saying, oh, he should be on 25-30 by now. Well, you look at the way the whole team started this season. If it wasn't for that start, he might already be on that. So, yes, he is missing lots, but all strikers miss lots, Dave. I think it's just a combination of the fact that he's just a very awkward player and he needs a lot of chances for him to score. But he's racking up the goals, Dave.
Oh, he has. He's scored 20 goals. Fantastic. And like we've said, you know, the goals he scored before that, he puts the harder ones away than he does the easy ones. But that was a good poacher's instinct there to get in there. I think we've got to say a lot about the build-up play as well. The ball for Diomande to release Tav down the right-hand side was sensational as well. Fantastic stuff, and just great for us to get that second goal, Derek. And because it was starting to get to that stage where we thought, is it going to happen? Is it going to happen? So, great time for us to get the second goal.
Yes.
Then, a double substitution on the 77th minute, just after that, and it was Cantwell and Barisic off, Wright and Lawrence on. 82nd minute, Lundstrom gets some space at the edge of the box, hits a low shot, manages to get it on target at least, but straight at the goalkeeper. 86th minute, shambolic here by the referee. So St Mirren, they break, it's a long ball. Jack Butland sees it, reacts, fantastic, runs out, clears the ball. After he clears the ball, makes contact with the St Mirren striker, can't get out of the way of the St Mirren striker. He touched the ball first, got it away. He had to go for it there, or the striker was in on goal. The referee comes over and books Jack Butland for it. Wasn't even a foul, never mind a yellow card. Absolutely diabolical refereeing there.
In a season of shambolic refereeing decisions, I think this one takes the absolute biscuit, Dave. I mean, I've shown it to a referee at my work, and he actually thought when I explained that it was going to be a yellow card to the St Mirren player, because if anything, it was a foul for us. You know, for the referee not only to give a foul, but to give Butland a yellow card as well, is absolutely farcical. Now, that free kick was taken not far outside our box. Yeah, what happened if that had went in?
Exactly, yes. And that was exactly what was going through my mind when it happened. Absolutely shocking decision there. I don't know what he thought that Jack Butland was supposed to do, because if Jack Butland had stayed on his line, that St Mirren attacker would have been through on goal. So he done what any other goalkeeper, 100% of goalkeepers would do if they had that opportunity to go out and clear the ball. Baffling, just a baffling decision there by the referee. But thankfully, like you've just said there, the St Mirren free kick came to nothing. But again, just shows you the poor quality of refereeing that we have in this country, and that for him to get a yellow card there was absolutely, totally shocking. But thankfully, it never came to anything after that, the free kick. There was 6 minutes of additional time. 91st minute, Rangers break from the edge of their own box. Dessers does great again, Derek, for the edge of his own box. He keeps the ball. This is the one thing that I would like to see him do more of. Hold on to the ball, be difficult to get pushed off. He keeps a hold of the ball. He plays a fantastic ball through. He sprints to the halfway line, Dessers, and then he plays just past the halfway line and plays a fantastic ball to Lawrence. He runs into the box, goes to get his shot, turns his man and the goalkeeper. Nobody's there. He hits a curled low shot, which is nestling into the bottom corner, and Gogic just manages to get back and get a toe to it to divert it past the post. Really, really unlucky there. A fantastic break. Great play by Dessers, Derek. You can't say that. I'm not giving the man his I'm not giving it big licks this week, but he's it was excellent play. That should have been 3-1 at that stage, Derek. Really, really unlucky there.
I mean, I've seen a few comments criticising Lawrence for that. I think he'd done everything right, and it was just good, really good defending from the defender there. So can he take it away from Lawrence there? But yeah.
Yep. And then the last piece of action that I've got here, which was sort of a heart and mouth stuff, but Balogun, he makes a mistake just outside the in his own half, gives the ball away. The St Mirren attacker races through. He's just about to pull the trigger, but thankfully Balogun uses his speed, managed to get back for a last-ditch tackle, fantastic tackle, and the ball is then cleared. So that could have been really dangerous, but making amends there, thankfully. And that is how the game ended up. A massive victory. It wasn't a great performance, Derek. It wasn't even, I wouldn't even go as far as saying it was a good performance. It was very, very low-key. We didn't create a lot of chances, but exactly like you said, Derek, when James Tavernier puts in a quality ball into the box, 9 times out of 10, we get a goal. And that is what happened in the second half. A piece of brilliance, a great move, a great ball that led to the goal. And that was the difference between the teams. I did think that we had the upper hand in midfield again. I keep saying that, keep going back to the Dundee and the Ross County games where I thought we completely lost it in midfield. I don't know if that's maybe just because Dio Mandy wasn't in there, because I do think that he brings a big positive to us when he does play. But just delighted to get the 3 points, Derek. Really delighted.
Yeah, I mean, I did say to you before the game kicked off is all these remaining games need to be wins, but wins by cricket scores, because I can see us going into beat Celtic, and then it's really just down to goal difference then. And I would hate even more, because I know how much it tore Celtic apart when losing the league by goal difference. I would hate that to be us this season. So the 3 points are the main thing, we need to be racking up cricket scores. So one thing to round out this game though, Dave, on the 10th minute, Tavernier went to go and get the ball for a throw-in from a ball boy, and the ball boy threw the ball away. The ref ended up having to intervene, and he ended up subbing the ball boy a minute later. I mean, Dave, it was a wee petty thing he done. I mean, I'm not really bothered about it, but from a point of view of St Mirren, you know, you do that when you're trying to waste time for your team that you're being the ball boy for, not 10 minutes into the game when it's 0-0. Just absolute stupidity there from the ball boy, and he's getting hailed as some sort of hero by all the Celtic fans, but the Celtic fans and wee boys, you know, the less said about that, the better.
Yeah, well, no go there, Derek, no, but...
Yeah.
Going back to that last game, like we said, that save by Jack Butland was as good as us getting a goal there. That made the difference of us going down 2-1 at half-time, which I wouldn't have seen us coming back from, Derek. I didn't see us getting another one. So that, I think, is absolutely massive. I genuinely am not stressed out about us scoring goals and scoring goals, because right now, Derek, when you look at the squad of players that we've got so many injured players and forwards who are not really doing much for us, that just to get the victories now to the end of the season, I think, is going to be a huge task for us. If we manage to do it, it'll be fantastic. So I'm not worried about going out and trying to, you know, obviously I would love to see us going out and win 4-0 every single game, but I can't see it because I don't think we've got the personnel to go out and score loads and loads of goals for us at the moment. I just have to hope that some of our wide players get back fit for this running, because we really do need our squad to be at the maximum, and the injuries that we've got are just absolutely horrific, and it's in these key areas that we're having the problems. So I'm just hoping for each game as it comes, Derek, get the 3 points. I'm sure you're about to get into the upcoming matches that we've got. We'll start for the next one, get the 3 points hopefully, and see what happens for there.
Yes. So in the table, we've played 32, won 25, drawn 3, lost 6, scored 74, conceded 24, goal difference plus 50, and on 78 points. We're second behind Celtic, 3 points behind them, who have also, they've got a 5 better goal difference, 15 ahead of Hearts, 26 ahead of Killie. So the games to come, Sunday the 5th of May, that's at home against Kilmarnock, that's a 1 o'clock kickoff. Saturday the 11th of May, that's away against Celtic, and that's a 12:30 kickoff. Tuesday the 14th of May, that's at home against Dundee, that's a 19:30 kickoff. And hopefully the league's still alive at this point. Saturday the 18th of May, away against Hearts, that's a 12:30 kickoff. And to round out the season, because we got through to the final, that's on Saturday the 25th of May at Hampden against Celtic in the Scottish Cup final. That's a 3 o'clock kickoff. That's now been confirmed. Did cause a bit of a stir because the English Cup final is the same day and the same time. So I'm kind of glad they didn't move the final for us, just to cater for the English leagues on TV as well. Yeah, yep. If you're fans of any of those teams, you will be watching whatever game your team's in, so it makes really no difference whatsoever to me. I'm a Rangers fan, I'm watching that game, I don't care about England.
Exactly, and I was pleased as well, because you know, I could have seen a time where they would have changed it for television, you know, for ratings and stuff like that, but I'm delighted that it's remaining at its traditional time, so yeah, well done for that one.
Yeah. So, we'll now go into the news. So, as ever, a few stories to go over here. The first one, Academy Director Zeb Jacobs will be leaving us for Feyenoord at the end of the season. He's leaving after only about a year in charge in that role. Academies generally don't see the fruits of the labour for maybe 2-3+ years. I find it hard to understand that. Why would you take a job in the academy, especially the director, if you're not going to be invested in that for the long haul? I think questions need to be asked around his time, because the B team have only played, I think, 9 games this season, and that's due to not being in the Lowland League.
Yeah.
I mean, the questions are, was the job too big for him and that's why he's leaving? Was he struggling with the culture over here? I don't know. Or was the offer just too good for him? I mean, it could be that simple as. It leaves the question now, are we going to get someone else in his place and scrap everything that he's done for the new person to set up their regime, which will set us back another year? Are we then going to get somebody the same to carry on the work that Jacobs did? Are we going to look for a different model, as it's clear that players are not getting bled into the first team fast enough? We are moving players on from the academy, but we're making nominal amounts from them, so it's maybe breaking even of the money we're spending, if that, but we're not making the money we need to make out of it. We would really ideally look to have a Nathan Patterson player every other year if we could. If we could, you know, do that, move them on for big money, fine. but proper talent really gets stolen off us early on and for peanuts. I mean, we've seen that with Billy Gilmour, good case in point. There's been talk from fans of other podcasts about scrapping the academy and maybe just buying the youngsters from the league we're in and maybe loaning them back to their teams to get experience, but at least we own them. I don't know, would that be a good idea, good, bad idea? I'm not too sure. I think scrapping the academy altogether would be a bad idea, certainly from a stature point of view. But if we're not bleeding the players through, then kind of what's the point? One of the things for this, Dave, maybe it's us fans that are to blame for this as well, partly because we put a lot of pressure on managers that they need to win every single game, and we do, just in the nature of the league we're in, because Celtic win just about every game as well, so we need to be winning every game, and we can't have that time to bleed youngsters in and allow them to make mistakes at the top level.
I don't know, it's a bit of both. We all like to see young players coming through, and we genuinely do give them more time, I think, than we do with certain other players. We've had McCausland this season, who has came in and done a relatively good job. Derek, he's not set the heather on fire, but he's came in, he's done the job that's been asked of him. He scored a couple of goals for us. He set up a few goals for us as well, which is excellent for him. I think the whole problem stems from the whole Lowland League debacle, the fact that Rangers are no longer playing in that, the B team's playing in that, and I know that it wasn't a great standard, but it was still giving these boys a chance to play against a lot of guys who had maybe been playing the game for a long time and had been playing League 1, League 2 level football. It gets them bled in, and I think ever since the decision for them not to play in that league there has hurt us big time as well, although I do understand that they were wanting these boys to be playing at a higher level, and when it all fell through that they were wanting the Rangers B and the Celtic B teams to be a part of the Scottish League, and that was, you know, kiboshed as well. It's been difficult for them to get steady game time. I know they're still able to play in the cup competitions and stuff like that, but it has been difficult going further down the age groups, the actual Youth Cup final's on at the moment at Hampden with Rangers and Aberdeen, and it's actually live on the TV, which is fantastic. But from the next step for these boys that are, you know, 15, 16 year old, you would be looking for them to go sort of one step higher and then try and fight their way into the first team. But that step seems to be missing now between the sort of 15, 16 year olds to the 17, 18, 19 year olds to get into the first team. And I think that we've really struggled there. And I don't know whether this academy director has become frustrated with that, or it just could be something simple like what you said, Derek. He's maybe been homesick. He maybe just can't get used to living here, or he maybe has just had a better offer. But we are in a total sticking point with the youth teams now, aren't we?
It's one of these things that obviously when you're 15, 16, you're not on a professional contract unless the club actually sign you, which I can't remember last time Rangers, if we even have signed a professional contract for a 16-year-old. However, you look at Ahmad Diallo, who we have got up on loan. He was what Man United paid about £18 million for him when he was like 17, I think. We can't compete with that, Dave. So when you're getting really promising youngsters like that, when they're not under professional contracts, these teams, these big clubs can go in and spend an exorbitant amount of money in terms of their wages and just snap them up. And these players are going to obviously go for that. And you can't really blame them. They get dazzled by the lights. They're going to earn more money than they would probably ever make in staying in Scotland. So you can't blame them. But it kind of got me thinking about the whole wage thing and what are the things that are behind that. And yes, obviously money's a big issue. The lure of playing in the English league seems to be a big thing as well. But one wee thing as well, if you think you've got a player that we could sign from the English Championship or the English First Division, and we could probably offer them at the top end probably the same money as an English Championship club could, you're maybe going to be playing in Europe compared with the Championship, but you're going to be playing Dross every week in Scotland, where, granted, some of the Championship games aren't that great either. No. But just one wee factor in this, Dave, if a club's offering you £20,000 in Scotland a week or £20,000 in England, take away all the glitz and glamour of the England thing can offer. just on the money factor alone, you're going to choose England. Do you know why, Dave? Because you'd be earning more of that 20 grand because of the tax issue up here as well. That kind of earner would be getting charged an absolute fortune because of the ridiculous SNP tax policy they've got up here. So even when you boil down to it, Dave, if it was just purely money players are after these days, if they were mercenaries, which a lot of them are, in fairness, you're going to choose England because you're going to get more of that money. So because of the way the tax brackets are up here, your players, and I'll include Celtic in that one here, we're losing out on talent and young talent because of that. So what kind of chances you got even then when you look at it?
It is a difficult one, and exactly like what you're saying, if you've got no affiliations to a team in Scotland, you're going to chase the money and stay down in England, even if it is for a less fashionable team. So it's very, very difficult. I did mention the Youth Cup final that was on. It's actually just finished at Hampden, and Rangers have won the Scottish Youth Cup, beating Aberdeen by two goals to one. So that's a fantastic result for the young guys to win the Scottish Cup there, getting a bit of silverware. So good to see that even although these talented players don't seem to be coming through, we obviously do have some young quality players in there. And I know that the manager was at the game as well tonight. He's maybe looking to see if he can find a winger that he can play on he can play on Sunday that's fit, right enough. But congratulations to the young Rangers players for winning that there. That's excellent stuff.
I was hearing we'd only won it seven times beforehand, so a fantastic achievement that.
Yeah, superb.
Next thing here, the Rangers Player of the Year awards were held the other night there. Now, weird because the season's still ongoing, but yeah. Tavernier once again won the Sam English Bowl for being the top scorer. I mean, Dessers is only four goals behind him and the season isn't finished, so that's one of these weird quirks here. Rabbi Matondo got the goal of the season for his goal against Celtic in March. The John Gregg Achievement Award drew some criticism on Twitter. He's been poor all year, however, was chosen by John Gregg himself, so it may be telling about where he's maybe going to move to in the summer, but Goldson won that one there. The Women's Player of the Year, Kirsty McLean. Men's Player of the Year, there could only be really one, was it, Dave? Jack Butland. Academy Player of the Year, Cole McKinnon. Men's Young Player of the Year, Ross McCausland. Men's Player of the Year, voted by the supporters, Jack Butland again. Women's top goal scorer, Rio Hardy with 34 goals. The B-team goal of the season, Bailey Rice for his goal against Burnley in July. Women's goal of the season, Nicola Docherty against Hamilton. And the Women's Player of the Year, Mia McCauley. So a hell of a lot of awards they've handed out the other night, but apparently it was a great night all round.
Yeah, it was. And as you say, just because of the timing of the season, still a lot of football to be played. Things could change, but I suppose it's the same every year, so they've got to go on what's happening at that stage. But I'm certainly not going to disagree with Jack Butland being player of the season because he has been absolutely outstanding for us.
Yes. On the back of that, similarly with the season not being finished, the PFA Player of the Year nominations have been announced as well. Now, I think that's the Players Player of the Year.
Yep.
So Tavernier and Butland, along with Matt O'Reilly from Celtic and Lawrence Shanklin from Hearts. So, again, can't argue with Butland. Tavernier, I think he's got the nomination just purely for his stats because it has been a relatively quiet season from him. Matt O'Reilly, fair enough, I've never really watched him that much. And Shanklin, obviously, for the amount of goals. So you could probably see Matt O'Reilly or Shanklin winning that. But certainly Butland, as you mentioned before, some of his saves have been worth a goal.
Yeah, definitely. I think actually, Derek, it will be between Butland and Shanklin. And going by previous votes, goalkeepers don't seem to get. I think the last time that a goalkeeper won it, I was hearing, was Andy Gorham. And it was the season that Rangers were effectively in the Champions League semi-final when we played Marseille and stuff like that. So that was back in 1993. So it just shows you. But I think the way that it'll vote, it'll probably be Lawrence Shanklin that'll win that one.
The Young Player of the Year nominations were McCausland for us, along with Lyle Cameron from Dundee, Lennon Miller from Motherwell, and David Watson from Killie. So I think McCausland, yeah, he's been decent. I think he's been in the team simply a pure default because we've had no other players there, but you know, you can't take it away. It has been his debut season. He has been decent. However, given the seasons that Dundee have had as well as Kelly, they've had probably better seasons overall. I'm not too sure what Lennon Miller is doing there, considering they finished bottom six this year, but never mind. And in the team of the year, Butland, Tavernier and Lundstrom were in that one there. A bit of a strange one, this one, though, Dave. The nominations for Manager of the Year: Derek McInnes, Tony Docherty from Dundee, and John McGlynn from Falkirk. I mean, all have done exceptionally well. Obviously, McInnes with Kilmarnock, Tony Docherty with Dundee, done well getting them into the top six. For me, the standout, probably John McGlynn at Falkirk, because I don't think he's lost a game this season, so you can understand why he's there. Again, though, that nominations have been announced before the season is up.
Yeah.
Weirdly, I mean, Clement could still win a treble in his first half season. And given the position of weakness he was in and we were in at the time, if he can come in and win a treble, surely that means he's just Manager of the Year.
I would say, without a shadow of a doubt, Derek, it is a big if. But regardless, we've waxed lyrical about the manager already for what he has done since we've came in, with the issues that he's had with the squad and stuff like that. I think he's done a great job. We're finding things difficult now as he's coming to the end of a long season. But he's quite rightly, as you say, there is still a chance. We are still the only team in Scotland who could go on to win a treble. And if that did happen, it would be absolutely sensational, and it would put him above everybody else without a shadow of a doubt.
Yep. Next thing, after this year's NARSA convention not even getting off the ground due to the costs involved in New York, it's been confirmed that next year's event will be held in Kissimmee, Florida. That's on between June the 12th and June the 15th. So, Dave, plan your Florida holiday around that.
I was just about to say that, mate. Do you think I could trick my wife into trying to get those dates booked and ulterior motive?
I think so, Dave. I mean, that's not far away from where you normally go, is it? So,
no, it certainly isn't. No, definitely not. So, we'll wait and see, Derek. That would certainly be a mega highlight for me if that was the case. So, we'll wait and see what happens there.
Darling, I'm just going on a day trip for 3 days. I won't be back.
But don't worry, I'm not too far away.
Next thing here, Dave, today it got announced that the next bunch of independent reviews of VAR decisions were, I'm no longer going to get into it because you could go into it for forever, Dave, with the state of VAR just now in this country. I mean, I think once again it's highlighted more decisions have went against us because of VAR, which shouldn't have, than have Celtic. So they've benefited more from VAR than we have, clearly. However, the one decision I really want to get into, Dave, and it just highlights how shite referees are in this country, is the Sterling sending off against Aberdeen when we won 2-1. So it's been confirmed that VAR should have been used properly to overturn that. Now, what happened is the referee seen it, he gave him a red card. So there's the first mistake, a straight red card. The second mistake is he actually went over to the screen. The reason why he went over to the screen is because the VAR officials told them, you might want to look at this, you might have made a mistake. The referee, again, never overruled his decision when it was blatantly obvious he should have. So that was the second mistake. The third mistake, Rangers appealed it, and then the appeal failed. So what you've got there is three levels of refereeing in this country have failed to overturn a wrong decision. And it's been now since independently reviewed, and that decision shouldn't have stood. The referee should have overturned his decision. So, Dave, what chance have you got when they've reviewed it and they say, no, it should have been overturned?
Yeah, I know. It was farcical at the time. The appeal was farcical as well, Derek. It was quite incredible. We were totally dumbstruck when it happened, and now it's been proven that was the case as well. So, as you say, what chance have we got when it goes all the way and it's proven that that's what actually happened? And, you know, it shows how inept and how poor the officiating is, and that even is with VAR there as well. It's not getting used properly. And, you know, I'm still going back to the Jack Butland foul there at that St Mirren game, which was quite incredible. That didn't go to VAR because it was just a yellow card, but it just shows that if the referee had have went one step further and thought it was a sender off, would it have went to VAR? Or, you know, it's we're now guessing. We can see things that are quite clear. We're still having to second guess the referee and what they're going to do, and that's not the way that it should be happening.
I mean, here's the thing with the, going back to the St Mirren yellow card for Butland. It's a case of the referee's made an arse of that. What happens in the next few games where Butland is time-wasting because we're 1-0 up, it's the dying minutes, the referee's had enough of it, he gives them a booking. So what happens if under the totten-up procedure, because of that extra yellow card he's got, he then gets suspended for that last game?
Yeah.
And now we've had to play our second string keeper. I mean, we've got good keepers in the backup, mind you, but that's not the point, Dave. He'll miss a game because of that.
100%,
so. But anyway, next thing here, the women's team are through to the Scottish Cup final also after a 2-0 win against Celtic at Hampden in the semi-final. The final is going to be played on the 26th of May, so a day after the Scottish Cup final for the men. The venue is still to be decided. They're going for the Cup double, and hopefully they can add the league to that just beforehand as well, which would mean it was a treble. So. Good luck to them.
Fingers crossed, yeah.
Next thing, rumours are circulating that Barisic and Lundstrom have already signed deals or are about to sign deals with Turkish side Trabzonspor. So there's been nothing confirmed. I think one of their chairmen came out today and he says he's hopeful to sign them. Both are out of contract at the end of the season. Clement has said in pressers that the club are still talking to Lundstrom about contracts, so we'll see what happens there. For me, I think both should leave. Lundstrom did have an upturn in form when Clement came in. However, recently we've seen he does what he always does. He fades out of games. He has blatant mistakes. He loses the ball in midfield. He can't keep concentration for 90 minutes. So, yeah, I think it's about time both of them leave. I think Barisic is done anyway, regardless. But Lundstrom, I think as much as we might have wanted to give him a new contract lately, I would say no, justified not.
The jury's still out for me on Lundstrom. I tend to think that because of how we've been ravaged with injuries, he's played every single match just about in there, and players do need a, you know, a break from time to time. But the manager's just felt that we've not been able to leave him out of matches, and so it shows that the manager thinks how influential he is when the likes even Raskin isn't getting into the team. Derek, and he was, you know, one of our best players when he first came to Rangers along with Cantwell. We all thought that Raskin was going to be a player for the future, but he can't get a game, and Lundstrom's still in there. So I think with a better supporting cast, we could still get a top quality player there, but I think he will be away. I think at all of this, you know, there's no smoke without fire with all these rumours, and it's always the same ones that are coming out. So I do think that he will be away, but I'm still, my mind's still drawn there on whether we keep him or not.
Yeah. Next thing here, again, more rumours circulating that Gerrard is going to come in for Tavernier and Goldson this summer. Now, clearly an obvious link is Gerrard that links them together. Whether there's any truth in it, it's completely unclear at this stage. Yeah. Both have still got 2 years to go. Both have had poor seasons overall. Both, maybe more so Goldson, are on their last legs, certainly with a growing number of fans anyway. Myself has been one of them. I think if we can get some sort of deal for both of them, I think we need to let them go. You've got to praise the good things, you've got to criticise the bad things. And as I said on Twitter, you know, a couple of days ago, is I think with both of them, people overly criticise them at times, but people overly defend them at times as well. They've been a big part of our successes, but they've been a massive part of our losses and our failures at the same time. And it's the same mistakes that keep happening. That's what I keep saying. But we've talked about Goldson and Tavernier ad nauseum now, haven't we?
No, I still think James Tavernier will be the Rangers captain next season, Derek. Goldson, I'm not too sure about. I think the manager, just over the last few games with him being out of the team, I think there's more of a chance of him going, but I think that Tav will still be there next year.
Well, just need to wait and see.
Yeah.
Next thing, Bisgrove has confirmed the steps that are to be taken by both Old Firm clubs for around away fans for next season. So we are certainly apparently making changes to the turnstiles. Celtic are making changes to the access and ingress at Parkhead as well because of the way we get treated like cattle there. But we'll see what transpires from that.
Yeah.
He's also confirmed that, amazingly, we have had 41,000 season ticket renewals already signed up. So the deadline, I think, is this Friday. That's absolutely incredible, Dave, so far. Yeah,
sensational, Derek. It's always been the same. I think the fans can see the direction that the club is going in. I think we all believe in the manager. You know, you always got a few folk online that'll berate him and stuff, but I think we can see a clear sort of vision going ahead, and everybody wants to be a part of that. So, you know, great stuff as usual by the fans.
And I think one of the big things as well that's it's having a major impact on the club is the seat sub thing, and it seems to be working as well, because speaking to a Celtic fan today, and she was praising the fact that we've got that because she's got a season ticket there, and she says, as much as they say it's a sellout, she says lots of gaps around Parkhead all the time because they don't have that seat sub thing in place. Yeah. And people like our fans are a bit reluctant to give their season tickets away to strangers because it's a hassle trying to get the ticket back from them afterwards. And, you know, if you're giving your ticket away and they do something, well, that's your seat and you could potentially lose your seat. So, yeah, it certainly works out brilliantly and obviously benefit. I think the money was getting upped as well, the money that you get back. So, brilliant idea.
Yep, superb.
Next thing here, planning permission has been submitted to Glasgow City Council for the Watersmith statue to be placed between the Copeland Road stand and New Edmiston House. So I think me and you, Dave, seen possible prep work going on around that grounds a month or two ago, so it might have been that, I'm not too sure. I mean, apparently we expect a decision by the 14th of June and the statue to be unveiled later in the year, so I can't imagine that being refused. Can't wait to see that. It's certainly a fitting tribute, and I think when you look at us, we've only had one statue before, and that's obviously of John Gregg. It goes towards the great man himself, but it serves as a tribute to those that died in the Ibrox disasters. You contrast that with the likes of Man City. I think they've got about three or four statues there from very recent players. And as much as, they're club legends, they're nowhere near in the stature of the likes of John Gregg or Walter Smith for what they've done for their club. So kind of dilutes the whole statue thing, whereas certainly we're not doing that. We're very limited in what we do with that. So it's a certain fitting tribute to the man.
It certainly is, and going by the description of where they're planning for the statue to go, certainly fits where we saw the sort of area that looked as if it was being mapped out when we were there at the museum, Derek. So it certainly looks as if it's going to be that area, and you know, that would be a fantastic addition to the stadium for a statue of Walter Smith there. So, like you said, I can't see that being rejected. So, really looking forward to seeing that when that goes ahead.
And the last story here, just to tie up something from the last episode, Dundee were hit with a fine by the SPFL for their string of postponements this season, obviously related to the pitch issues. 66,000 up front and 120 grand suspended until the end of next season, and that'll be payable if they breach SPFL rules relating to pitch condition in that time. I mean, once again, that's a weak punishment from the SPFL, and further to that, the way they've worded it is very woolly about any further breaches relating to pitch condition. I mean, just Dave, what's the point in having rules if they're going to be so weak at enforcing them? I mean, somebody had the idea, which was to recover the Sky costs, which are apparently not the six figures that was initially reported, but tell Dundee to ring fence that 120 grand or more, whatever's needed to upgrade their pitch and the drainage, and then it would force them to upgrade it. And I mean, I would have went further and I would have said, right, you've got to do that. You've got to get your pitch sorted. So spend whatever money you need to do, but then also refund all the cost for the away fans that have been affected in this. Refund, so that's five games in total. And then refund the away team's costs as well, because that's potentially two or three hotels our full team have had to pay for in that respect. So I know that the Dundee don't have the money, but harsh lessons need to be taught. Now, apparently Dundee have came out today and said exactly what they're going to do. They're going to be spending a good bit of money. They're not going to rip up the undersoil heating, but they're going to use micro diggers to dig around the places that need the drainage sorted, and they'll install new drainage and all that kind of nonsense. So we'll see what happens, Dave, but a shambolic...
Okay, I've heard it all, dude. We spoke a lot about this before. I don't want to go over old ground, but I actually feel sorry for clubs who have had to spend huge amount of money to make sure that their pitches were suitable to play in the top league, and that they had to sacrifice the playing side of things. Now, Dundee have had an excellent season back by their standards, coming straight up for the Championship and being in the top six, but that's because they've put all their money into the playing side of things rather than the pitch, Derek. So that, you know, has gone for them, and it's other teams, you know, like us that have had to suffer, and other teams, like I said, that have had to suffer on the playing side because they've kept their pitch, you know, the standard that it should be. So Dundee should be getting punished a lot more than what they have. But as usual, you know, the punishment's handed out by the powers that be. We knew it wasn't going to be much. I could have told you that there wasn't going to be a lot there. And as you say, it's as clear as mud what happens again if, you know, there's anything else breached by then. And your wee line there about micro diggers just had me thinking about what sort of pathetic action that they're going to take up there just to show, look, we are making improvements here. There'll probably be hardly anything be done at all there, and they'll have got away with it. But, you know, what can we do?
So, it's usually about this time I have a dodgy story, Dave, but I couldn't find any this week, so I'm going back into the archives of Fesshole, our tried and trusted site, Dave.
Okay.
I got stomach cramps on the tube. Desperate for a poo, as soon as I got off, I ran to the nearest public loo, blew one out the back door even before cheeks had touched the seat. No loo paper in the cubicle. Only had my laptop and sandwiches in rucksack. Wiped my arse on a sandwich. Next one. Sometimes when I'm sat in my son's room waiting for him good to go asleep, I let out a suitably audible fart to check he's far enough gone to sneak out. No 4-year-old can resist. Best checker ever.
It certainly is, Derek. Do you know what I know, Sahin? That's what I miss most about my children growing up, is the fact that before I used to be able to fart and they would find it absolutely hilarious. Whereas now, if that happens, I get the look of absolute disgust from the two of them. So that's is one thing that I do miss. So I take that 100%.
Recently, been in hospital for heart problems. Want to have a relaxing wank at home, but terrified I'll have a heart attack halfway through, and then my family will find me dead with my member in my hand. I think that one's tickled, Dave.
Oh, dearie dear. Oh, my God.
Got kinky with an ex and tied him to the bed while I went shopping with love eggs in. Ran into a friend who had recently lost her mother, then hit with school traffic. Got back 3 hours later to my headboard broken and a shit on the bed. We never spoke again.
Oh,
this is topical because the London Marathon had just been, but did the Manchester Marathon, and the only thing that kept me going was the cracking arse of a person just ahead of me. Could have overtaken and got a better time, but worth it.
What can I say?
It wasn't you, Dave.
No, it was me.
At the start of a relationship, I joked to my girlfriend that I can't do the washing up because I'm allergic to one of the active ingredients in washing up liquids. She believed me. 3 years on, we're engaged, and I feel it's too late to tell her the truth now. She'll probably call it off.
That's quality.
Wait, wish I'd tried that one.
That's quality.
And to round it off, Dave, sometimes I like to eat my lunch in the toilet while taking a shit and singing The Circle of Life from The Lion King. I enjoy the symmetry of food coming out and going in at the same time. Quite literally, The Circle of Life.
Oh, dear. Oh, my God.
Yes. Genius site. Genius site. concerning people out there, considering that's their confessions. But
that really is.
So, Dave, on that note, we will end the podcast. So, certainly good results, questionable performances, but we got there in the end. We just need to keep it up, Dave. Cricket scores if we can, and we'll see what happens.
Yep, we've got, what, 4 or 5 cup finals in a row now, Derek. We just need to keep winning. We are capable of doing that. It's just the personnel that we've got fit and available to us, I think, is going to be the issue. But we just have to keep believing, cheer the team on, and hopefully, you know, starting with Kilmarnock, we can get a decent victory there on Sunday.
Yes. So, thanks for listening, and goodbye.
Goodbye.
And the stadium erupts in red, white, and blue. You've never seen anything like it.
Let's go.